What's another one? What's another beating? You know, what's another shipwreck? What's another, you know? God's in it, as we heard earlier in the preaching. God's still there.
Amen.
You know, but God. Amen.
Amen.
And so we just wondered about that. Are you afraid? Mm. Now, when I first was in the ministry and I was an assistant pastor, brother, you'll like this. This was my first Sunday at this church. And so people are kind of introducing themselves to me and that kind of thing. And this one big burly guy, you know, he says, you know, my name is, and I won't say his name, but my name is, and this is my worst half. Points to his wife. I said, if she's your worst half, you made her that way. You open your mouth, put your foot in.
Yes, sir.
She's going, see, and everybody around, see, he's got your number. He knows what you want, right? Well, for the evening service, I came back, and the church layout was a little bit different, an old building, and to get a drink, you had to go way down this hall and round the corner and down that hall. It was kind of a dark, narrow hall to get to the drinking fountain. And I wanted to get a drink, so I went down there, and you know, here I'm running the thing, you know, watering my mustache. You do have to water these things in this mouth. And, I'm watering my mustache, and I know there's somebody back there. You know, I just know. And I come up, and here's that big burly guy. And I thought, oh, boy, I'm in trouble. I mean, here's the hall. There's nobody down there. He's going to pummel me. And he said to me, Yank, because this was down south, he said, Yank, you give it out pretty good. Can you take it? And I said, yeah, I can take it. So, all right, we'll be friends. And, that was good. That's why I'm here today. Still here. So, that was a good thing. But all of us have fears. Now, all of us have fear. And the Apostle Paul, when you read it in the context, you see that the people had turned again to weak and beggarly elements, it says there. You know, now they're observing days and months and times and years and all these things that you can add to or try to add to what Jesus Christ did are weak and beggarly.
Amen.
You know, they're worthless. They're not anything good. But we have fears, and all of us have fears that come about in the ministry. And we have fears. How will our message go? We have fears. Will we be thought of as holy? We want to do that. Well, people think of us as upright. Well, they think of us as knowledgeable in Bible truth. Will we be good at soul winning? As pastors, will we do a good job with weddings, funerals, those kinds of things? I had an assistant that said that, he kind of got mixed up when the first time that he tried to do a baptismal. You know, he had the person there, and he couldn't remember what to say, and he said, drink ye all of it. we get nervous about some of those things. We get all hooked up with that kind of thing. But I don't think Paul is fearful of these things. I think he was fearful for the people under his care. And all of us, whether we're a pastor, or a husband, father, mother, Sunday school teacher, we can be afraid of those things that happen in the people's lives that we're given trust with, we're given the care of. And so I want to take a look at a few things this morning. First of all, I want to look at some common fears, if you will. Some common fears. You know, Paul would see these. A study of his epistles bears this out, that he sees all kinds of things that can happen to people. You know, we can fear this. We can fear that God's word produces no conversions. Here we're trying to give out the word, just week after week, year after year, we give out the word, and it just doesn't produce any kind of of conversions, or will have a fear that there's no difference between someone who's had made a real profession and someone who's had a conversion. And, you know, then we have these fears about what happens in people's lives. Did they really get saved, or did they just make a profession?
Yeah.
Did I make them twice the child of the devil? Right? Mm-hmm. Telling them that, you know, you've trusted Christ, this is great, and they really never did.
Mm-hmm.
They just prayed a prayer. I mean, I had a fellow in our church, you know, that he just was so afraid that he was going to get pushed into, you know, this thing called salvation, that he told everybody he prayed a prayer. He never did. Yeah. Just so everybody would leave him alone. He finally did get saved. Praise God.
Amen.
Yeah, he understood that it was wrong what he had done, but you just have those kinds of fears. We have fears that saints would not live godly in this world. And of course, that ruins their testimony. It ruins the testimony of the church, and it ruins the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have a fear about that. Every time we say goodbye to all the folks, you know, we shake hands, you know, with them at the door. I mean, I have to be careful at Walmart. I'll stand there and shake people's hands. You know, but when they go out the door, you know, what is going to happen in their day-in, day-out life that's going to affect the cause of Jesus Christ?
Right.
You know, you have some of those kinds of fears that go through your mind. And you have a fear that your church members are going to get caught in some real sin.
Yeah.
It's going to be something big. If any of you have been in the ministry for very long, you know that that does happen.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't want to take the time to talk about some of those things, but I've seen all kinds of those
things
in the ministry. And so we have those kinds of fears. Another fear that we have is that our church members get caught up in some kind of false doctrine. Here the Apostle Paul is seeing the churches at Galatia get caught up in this Judaizing, this becoming, you know, the law on top of grace, which doesn't work,
right?
Doesn't help. Mm-hmm. It gets you all messed up. Eventually leads into what we would call covenant theology, and now you really are messed up.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's got legitimate fear here for that kind of thing. And there's so many winds of doctrine that are out there anymore that are people, you know, we're supposed to be, you know, staving off that, keeping them on the straight and narrow and on the old paths and that kind of thing. And yet, our people, you know, they've got access to radio, television. You just never know what kinds of things are out there.
Right.
Yeah. What they're hearing. We can have that kind of a fear. How many of new believers get caught away by the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Church of Latter-day Saints?
Yeah.
You know, we win them to Christ, then they get all excited. Well, so-and-so came over and they started having a Bible study at my house. Well, so-and-so has no idea what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if Jesus Christ is the little God or the brother of Satan.
Yeah, right.
Come on. So, you know, there's fears. We have those kinds of fears. And my wife and I have grown children now, but you raise children and you have fears about what's going to happen in their life. You know, you have the Sunday school kids and all that. You wonder, what's going to happen to those kids? Yeah, it's really, really something that you have. But I'd like to secondly speak to you this morning about ministering around those fears. Okay, we have those fears, but they shouldn't paralyze us. Amen? They can't paralyze us. We have to go on. So ministering around those fears. You know, Paul could see the troubles for these churches. He really could. Look with me, if you would, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Through 28. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Start there at verse 23. And just a few pages from where we were. And it says there, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Then verse 28 says, beside those things that are without. There's something more beside those things that are out. That which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. All those things were going on, but the thing that really had his heart the most was the care for the churches. Us as pastors, all kinds of things can go on, and yet our care is still for our church, the church family, the people in it. And that's what we see there with the Apostle Paul. And so he still is ministering to them. He didn't give up. He didn't quit. Amen? Back here in chapter 4 of Galatians, verse 16, he said, Am I therefore your enemy because I tell you the truth? No matter what was going on, no matter how they were getting off, he still had to tell them the truth. We've got to tell the truth all the time. You know, sometimes that's called tough love. Yeah, tell them the truth. And then you become their enemy. Well, I suppose sometimes you do. It can happen. But you need to remember this. Here's something good for you. Here's an alliteration of the word fear. F-E-A-R. Fear. False evidence appearing real. Did you catch that? Fear. False evidence appearing real. And Satan so oftentimes makes things seem like they're bigger, worse, they're greater, they're harder, they're more difficult to overcome than they really are.
Yeah,
he gives us false evidence that appears real. And that we have to understand that and get beyond that. And see that these things, we have to look at it through, guess what? God's eyes.
Yeah, that's good.
And then it doesn't affect us quite the same way. You could read in them something the wrong way. You may think that this thing's going on, but maybe it isn't. You know, when they're all sitting there like this,
yeah.
So maybe it's they're cold. maybe that's what it is. You know, when they all got pieces and they're all reaching for it, maybe you ought to fear. We need to minister around that. Amen. I just ask you the question, if you're right about what they're doing, are you responsible for what they're doing? I mean, did you make the choice for them? If they're going back to these, weak and beggarly things, if they've decided they want to follow this false doctrine, if they want to go into sin, are you responsible for what they've done? You have to ask that question. And the answer, of course, is no. They did it. They chose it.
Amen.
It's not your responsibility. You see, Satan would like you to beat yourself up about the choices of your flock.
Yeah.
And every time we start beating ourselves up, we go into depression.
Mm-hmm.
Depression is anger turned on yourself. You don't want to be angry at yourself because you like yourself. Believe it or not, you do. You know, every one of us likes ourselves. There's food. What do? Yes, food. I like food. We go to the food because we like ourselves. see, when we get angry at ourselves, we say, boy, then we get depressed. You know, Charles Spurgeon had such depression that he'd spend days in bed, not even get out of bed because of depression.
Yeah.
And we have to understand that Satan, you know, just beats us up about everything. Isn't it amazing? You can always think of something smart to say after they argue.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? Yeah. You know, why didn't I think of that? Why didn't I say that? We beat ourselves up. Why didn't I say that to that person to lead them to Christ?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right.
Why didn't I say something to that person? I mean, I had a deacon that had an affair with the piano player. No, organ player. Mm. And he said, I'm sorry, and confessing it and all that kind of thing. And he said, please don't tell the church. Guess what? I should have told the church.
Yeah.
He later became a real enemy.
Yeah.
I was young. Yeah. So you beat yourself up about that stuff. What I should have did and shouldn't have did and all that kind of thing. But we have to go on beyond that kind of thing. Amen?
Yes, sir.
And because you never know when someone might truly repent, trust Christ their Savior. You never know when somebody might truly repent and, you know, confess it before the church. And you just never know what God's doing, where He's working, how He's bringing all these things about. Some people eventually in false doctrine will see that the Word of God is true and you were right all along. And the only reason you were right is because the same Holy Spirit that taught them has taught you before. And that sort of thing. So we need to pray for God's wisdom and strength and just keep on preaching, keep on teaching, keep on admonishing, you know, keep on standing up for what's right and just keep doing those things. That's what the Apostle Paul did. And we need to also keep pleading with those people. You know, Jesus said to feed the lambs, to feed the sheep.
Amen.
We need to do that as best we can, even amongst the fears. But thirdly, this morning I'd like to talk to you about being bolstered in the face of fear.
Amen.
Being bolstered in the face of fear. If you've been true to God's word and His call, you've got to know this, my dear ones. You just have to put it down that Satan will attack you. It is going to happen. Otherwise, the Apostle Paul wouldn't have told us about, you know, in Galatians chapter, number 5, in Ephesians chapter number 5, you know, to put on the whole armor of God. He wouldn't have told us to do that.
Right.
But if you're trying to do something right, you're trying to stay true to the Word of God, Satan's going to attack. He just is going to.
Yeah.
He really is. Another thing that you need to remember, it is simple, you know these things. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you turn there with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 through 7. 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 7. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. See, it's all God's work. It comes through God's word. And only He is responsible for the outcome in the lives of men. So what we need to do is just be faithful to handle the Word of God and handle it correctly. Every Saturday, I pray about putting on the whole armor of God so that I might be able to speak boldly the things that I need to speak.
Good.
And one of the parts of the whole armor of God is that sword that we have to have, and the Word of God is the sword. And I always pray, God, help me to handle the Word of God correctly before our people.
Amen.
You know? And as long as we're doing that, then it's up to God. And I'm just either sowing or watering. That's all I'm doing. God gets the increase. And I have to keep that kind of thing in mind, or I'm going to really have a problem. He is the one that's responsible, not me. Now look with me, if you would, in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9. Isaiah 55, that's in the Old Testament. And I get confused, you know. When I was first saved, I liked that. I'm Italian. I liked that guy, the very last prophet in the Old Testament, Malachi.
Malachi.
Yeah, Brother Malachi. Well, he was good. Yeah. In Isaiah chapter 55, there, verse 8 and 9, if you would. The Word of God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Amen. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And we don't always see what's going on in the lives of people. You know, we can see some external things, and people come into church, and they all have masks. Amen? They all put them on, you know, and we don't know exactly what things are going on. Sometimes we have no idea the turmoil underneath.
Yeah.
We just have no sense of what's going on sometimes. And sometimes we think that we're preaching and preaching and preaching. It's bouncing off their foreheads and just coming right back and doing nothing. Mm. You know, it's in one ear, out the other ear. The poor person at the very end's got it so waxed up they have no idea what it is. We have no idea what God's doing. We really have absolutely no idea how God's working and what things He's doing. You know, one of the things that I did when I was first saved is I volunteered to be a counselor at a day camp. And I brought the kids to the camp, you know, every day, and they went back home, brought the kids to the camp every day. And one particular day, I can't remember if it was the Wednesday or the Thursday, but you know, nearer to the end of the week, this young girl, I can't remember exactly how old, I want to say 11, but you know, somewhere about that age, she said you know, that she wanted to see from the Bible. I know for sure she was going to heaven. So, okay, I sat her down on the grass there, and I started going through the Word of God and showing her what Scripture says about her being a sinner, and are you a sinner? Yes. And, you know, do you deserve hell? She said, yes, I deserve hell. And you know, do you understand that you can't do anything? And yes, and Jesus Christ. And finally she said, yeah, I understand all these things. And so I said, well, the Bible says, whosoever called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So pray and ask Jesus Christ to save you right now. So she said, okay. She bowed her head and she prayed and asked Jesus to be your Savior. Praise God. Amen. Amen. So at the end of the week, that Friday, before all the kids went home, we had anybody that had trusted Christ as Savior come on up in the front and, you know, say something about it. So all of us counselors are standing in the back behind all the other, you know, young kids that are there, and we're looking and we see this boy out there. And the one counselor says, "Do you deal with that boy?" And I said, "No, I didn't deal with that boy." And those other fellows said, "You deal with that boy?" "No." Nope, none of us could understand. We've dealt with the boy. So it finally came down to him to tell how he trusted Christ as his Savior. And he said he saw me sitting on the ground with this girl, showing her from the Word of God, and he came and sat behind us. I never even knew he was there. Mm-hmm. And he listened, and when the girl prayed, he prayed and asked Jesus to be his Savior. I like that kind. Amen. So you just never know what's going on in the lives of people. And you don't know God's timing on it. You just don't know any of these kind of things. You have to just let God do it. And I want to encourage you in that, to just keep doing, because God accomplishes what He wants to. That's what His Word tells us, amen, that it won't return void. Amen. It'll accomplish what He wants it. Amen. If you handle the Word of God, it's going to do something. And so we have to keep going on that way. And it'll do what God pleases, and it'll prosper him where he sends it. Oh. It's amazing what God can do. It really is. I worked just a little bit, just a tiny little bit with some bus kids. Had one bus kid, he was just a terrible kid. Terrible on the bus. Oh, I'm telling you. And I got frustrated with him, and I got in the flesh. And the kid was a roly-poly kind of kid, you know. And I said to him, you know what you are? I'm going to call you the Crisco Kid from now on. And the Crisco Kid, he said, why are you calling me the Crisco Kid? I said, because you're fat in the can. Remember Crisco, you know?
Yeah.
I said, you're fat in the can. Well, a lot of years later, my wife and I took some kids from Michigan. We took them to the Word of Life camp, and you can condemn me for that afterward. But we took them to the Word of Life camp up in Scroon Lake, New York, and all of my wife and I are walking across the campus there on that island, and here comes this nice, suave-looking kid. I mean, this nice young man, you know. I mean, he's handsome, tall, thin, all that. Jared, stand up. I mean, you know, I mean, he's a really nice-looking young man, right? And he says to me, do you know who I am? I said, I have no idea. He said, I'm the Crisco Kid. He said, you know, Pastor, that name stuck with me all through high school. And he said, but what you taught me about the Bible? I'm a counselor here at Word of Life.
That's good. Yeah, glory.
That's good.
See, you just don't know.
Yeah.
You really just don't know what God's doing.
Amen.
And so don't let the fears get to you.
You
have to get around that, get beyond that. It's a terrible thing, isn't it, to be held by fear? Mm-hmm. It really is a terrible thing to be held by fear. Some of you men know that years ago, before I went into the ministry, I drove race cars professionally up and down the East Coast. And, you know, you get into a race car, put your helmet, well, you kiss your wife goodbye first, and then you put your helmet on. Kind of hard to kiss her with the helmet there, you know. And you get in that thing, and you face death. Mm-hmm. And when you hit that start button, you just have no idea if you're coming back. I mean, I had a man die in my arms. Mm-hmm. That's what drove me to find out, where am I going to spend eternity? Mm-hmm. Trust in Christ as my Savior. But you know, that's if you have that fear, you have to put that out of your mind. But you'd never drive a race car. Well, you would. You'd only go 40 miles an hour. Wouldn't win. You know, it's a terrible thing to be held by fear. Whenever a race car driver crashes, the first thing they do is put him back into a race car to get over the fear.
Mm-hmm.
And if God's allowed some kind of a hurt in your life, some kind of a thing in the ministry to harm you, hurt you, you need to just go back at it.
Amen.
Do the ministry. Good. You really need to. You've got to do those things. It's even more terrible, isn't it, to be here and not know Jesus Christ as your Savior?
That's right.
Yeah, that's a terrible thing. It's even more terrible to be involved in some kind of sin, you know, dabbling with something, you know. Any more of this internet thing can be, you know, wicked, and, you know, or dabbling with some kind of a false doctrine. And your conscience and the Holy Spirit keep telling you that thing's wrong, that thing's wrong, that thing's wrong, and you still keep doing it. You know, there's no sense in it.
Amen.
You know, you just get on your knees and tell God it's wrong, and I'm sorry, I've been doing it wrong. You know, confession is this. I'm Italian, went to Catholic school, I had 4 years of Latin.
You know, and Latin is a language dead as it can be. First it killed the Romans, now it's killing me. Confession, two Latin words, con, meaning with. You know, chili con carne, it's, you know, beans with meat. You know, the con means with. And then fesseo is a Latin word for, you know, to agree. So confession is to just agree with God that the thing that you're doing is wrong. The thing you're doing, God, is unholy. And just agree with it. It's terrible to be in fear, but it's also terrible to be out of sorts with God. And you just get right with God. Just confess. Agree with God that it's wrong. It's terrible to be held, you know, by the lies of Satan that your labor is in vain. And you know where I'm going with this one. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. And just because I'm nervous enough, I'm not going to try to quote it. I'm going to read it. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. And then take a look with me, if you would, since you've turned there, to chapter 16 and verse number 13. The Apostle Paul says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. That's surely the opposite of fear. Amen?
Amen.
When it comes to fear, I've got some real good advice, though. It's in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 13. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 13. I'm going to just wait just a minute for you to get there because you need to see it. You might even want to underline it. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 13. And the Word of God says this. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread.
Yeah.
I had a professor tell me this. Don't be afraid of all people that are in front of you. Remember, God's got a big cannon right behind your head. And if you don't do what you're supposed to, he's going to let it go. Amen? It just moved you out of the way. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. If you fear the Lord, you have to worry about any of the other fears that Satan puts in front of you. Thank you. Lord bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Appreciate that, Brother Calabretta. That's good. I like all the preaching here has just been what I need anyway. Pastor to pastor, I just love that. Appreciate again hearing from that. And let's go ahead. We need to stand and sing one more song here and stretch a little bit. Yeah. 309 in our songbook, Dare to Be a Daniel. Dare to take a stand. 309, praise the Lord. Lift it up here.
I don't know how it goes, so I'm going to
Dare to be a Daniel.
Give me a chord at least. I don't know what to do with that. Standing on a purpose firm, aiding God's command, honor them, the faithful few, all hail to Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it. Dare to bear a purpose firm. great and tall, stalking through the land. Headlong to the earth it would fall if met by Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known I'm the last. Hold the gospel banner high unto victory grand. Satan and his host defy and shout for Daniel's band. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, dare to make it known. Amen. That's good. You may be seated.